one man. Now one man is like a city in civil war. Without going, therefore, into questions of unity as understood by the scholars, we may say of the scholarly riddle that the book has unity in the sense that all great traditional creations have unity, in the sense that Canterbury Cathedral has unity. And the same is broadly true of what I have called the philosophical riddle. There is a real sense in which the Book of Job stands apart from most of the books included in the canon of the Old Testament. But here again, those are wrong who insist on the entire absence of unity. Those are wrong who maintain that the Old Testament is a mere loose library, that it has no consistency or aim. Whether the result was achieved by some supernal spiritual truth, or by a steady national tradition, or merely by an ingenious selection in after times, the books of the Old Testament have quite a perceptible unity. To attempt to understand the Old Testament without realizing this main idea is as absurd as it would be to study one of Shakespeare's plays without realizing that the author of them had any philosophical object at all. It is as if a man were to read the history of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, thinking all the time that he was reading what really purported to be the history of an old Danish pirate prince. Such a reader would not realize at all that Hamlet's procrastination was, on the part of the poet, intentional. He would merely say, "How long Shakespeare's hero does take to kill his enemy." So speak the Bible smashers, who are, unfortunately, always at bottom Bible worshippers. They do not understand the special tone and intention of the Old Testament. They do not understand its main idea, which is the idea of all men being merely the instruments of a higher power. Those, for instance, who complain of the atrocities and treacheries of the judges and prophets of Israel have really got a notion in their head that has nothing to do with the subject. They are too Christian. They are reading back into the pre-Christian scriptures a purely Christian idea. The idea of saints, the idea that the chief instruments of God are very particularly good men. It is the idea that innocence has about it something terrible, which in the long run makes and remakes empires and the world. But the Old Testament idea was much more what may be called the common sense idea, that strength is strength, that cunning is cunning, that worldly success is worldly success, and that Jehovah uses these things for his own ultimate purpose, just as he uses natural forces or physical elements. He uses the strength of a hero as he uses that of a mammoth, without any particular respect for the mammoth. I cannot comprehend how it is that so many simple-minded skeptics have read such stories as The Fraud of Jacob and supposed that the man who wrote it, whoever he was, did not know that Jacob was a sneak, just as well as we do. The primeval human sense of honour does not change so much as that. But these simple-minded skeptics are, like the majority of modern skeptics, Christians. They fancy that the patriarchs must be meant for patterns. They fancy that Jacob was being set up as some kind of saint. And in that case, I do not wonder that they are a little startled. That is not the atmosphere of the Old Testament at all. The heroes of the Old Testament are not the sons of God, but the slaves of God, gigantic and terrible slaves, like the genii who were the slaves of Aladdin. The central idea of the great part of the Old Testament may be called the idea of the loneliness of God. God is not the only chief character of the Old Testament. God is properly the only character in the Old Testament. Compared with his clearness of purpose, all the other wills are heavy and automatic, like those of animals. Compared with his actuality, all the sons of flesh are shadows. Again and again the note is struck. With whom hath he taken counsel? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the peoples there was no man with me. All the patriarchs and prophets are merely his tools or weapons, for the Lord is a man of war. He uses Joshua like an axe, or Moses like a measuring rod. For him, Samuel